Here in Galatians chapter 3, we've embarked upon the continuing study of this book. We've taken a look at the Apostle Paul, his salvation, his conversion, his call to the ministry. We've gone on into this writing to them. He's given the example of the working of the Lord in his life and how the Lord has called him and how the Lord worked in him. He's given these accounts to be a witness and a testimony unto them. And in chapter 3, the chapter starts off, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth?" He's speaking to them about this other gospel that they've entertained, that they've received, that maybe even they're promoting, and he's dealing with them about this idea that circumcision is necessary for Gentiles to be saved, and he's talking to them about that. We left off last time between verses 6 and 9. We'll pick it up here in verse number 6 and read. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." And the Gentiles, these churches in Galatia, namely made up of Gentiles, there are Jews there in the midst of them, no doubt, but there's many Gentiles that have been saved, and as we've seen in our study in Ephesians, the Lord has taken that middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles, broken that down in Christ, and made the church so that Jews and Gentiles can serve the Lord together in his house, in that building fitly joined together, in that holy tabernacle that the Lord has made, as we saw Sunday evening in Ephesians. And he says, he uses this reference that the father of Israel, the father of the Israelites, is the father of the faithful, and even Gentiles who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, have trusted in him, he saved their souls, that we are the children of Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham faced with a very great thing, as you know, promised, given a promise upon promise that was all hinged upon him having a son when he was past ability to have a son. And so he speaks to these. The Jews that would be saved and in the Lord's churches, they would expect to be spoken to about Abraham. And in the New Testament, in the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church there in this day, these churches there in the regions of Galatia, they have taken the Old Testament scriptures to them, and it's from those scriptures and those writings of the apostles and a few others that they're receiving over time, but it's the Old Testament scriptures that they've taken to them, and it's from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus Christ is preached among them. But the Gentiles are spoken to, and they are told here, he says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scriptures, verse 8, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, the unbelieving, those away from the God, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." He's going to speak more about that later in the chapter, and we'll deal with that as we get on down to verses 15 and 16 or so. But he says, in Abraham, this blessing is going to come. Verse 9, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." The believers, those that have faith in God, those that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior, his Redeemer, his Messiah, even for the Gentile, which is a far, far away from the Lord, naturally, as we come forth and are separated from the nation, the commonwealth of Israel, as we've seen there in the book of Ephesians, even the Gentiles, the heathen of the Gentiles, are enjoined to God by faith, by believing the Lord. And I've said it many times, and it needs to be said again and again and again. You and I need to believe it. Salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation comes through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that repenting and that believing that we have, that we are given, that begins a life of repentance and faith. It's by repentance and faith we are brought to salvation and we're saved, and then we're brought into a life of repenting and believing. Repenting of our sin, repenting of the failure of the flesh. No justification at all for sin, but a sober understanding will realize that we will sin. We will sin. We shouldn't want to not sin, but we will sin. And praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. Jesus Christ, the righteous. We can take that to him, but we should desire to be more like Christ. But we are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse number 10. And we'll just take a look at this thought here. Just to get this one thought here for tonight. Verse number 10, for as many as are of the works of the law. You hear that there? Are of the works of the law. Where are you? Who are you? From what are you? Where are you of? Okay? Where are you of? To whom have you been born? To what are you connected? Listen to what it says. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. I tell you what, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be of that. But he's taken these that believe that it's necessary to take the fulfilling of the law, any aspect of the law, and add that to salvation through Christ alone. It's another gospel. He's already talked about that in chapter 1, and we're going to go back to that here as we get into this verse. But he says, if you're of the law, listen, we that have been saved, we're not of the law. We're of God. We're of Christ. Remember what the Lord told to Nicodemus? You must be born again. I've been begotten of God. If you're here and you're saved, you've been born of God. You've been birthed of God, not of the law. The law can't birth anything other than a curse. Amen? And the law has a place. God is not unrighteous in giving the law to Israel and manifesting, showing it forth unto the world. The Lord did not, he didn't trick us or anything. It's in its place for a reason. But I think the apostle wants to make that point. Isn't that kind of cold to be of the law? To be of the law? Is not the law dead? Does not the law reveal death? Does not the law stand against us? I came forth from my mama speaking lies. Why is it known that I spoke lies? Why wasn't what I spoke the truth? Because the law stands there and tells me that I did. I fussed about things as a baby when there was nothing wrong with me. I was a liar. I learned quickly how to work the system. If you do this long enough, if I go wah long enough, they'll come pick me up, walk me around, talk to me. I don't know what in the wild world of sports they're saying, but they do that. Maybe my mama will feed me, and maybe they'll check my diaper and do all that stuff, and I'll get some attention when there's absolutely nothing wrong with me. Yeah. Come forth of our mother's womb, not liking the climate change. But is there anything wrong? No, nothing's wrong. But we know that we're alive, that we've come forth speaking lies. That's what the law is there. It shows us that we are there. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Continuing there in verse number 10, the second part. For it is written, the Lord has told us in his book, the Lord has even told us in his law, if you will, told us in his word, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We want to take the law and bring it to ourselves for the sake of salvation, making the bold and brash and daring statement that we can keep it to save ourselves. He says, hang on. because you better keep all of it. And I tell you what, the thing that puzzles me and the thing that seems so apparent to me is this day, whatever day it was in your life. Say, listen, it's an early day. At 5 years old, you realize you need to keep the law to be saved. What about all those years before that? Keeping it from here on, if it could even be done, won't take care of the past. It condemns me. And so then if that time, in my case, at the time that I was saved, 1987, 22, almost 22 years old, what about 21 years and some odd months of sin and failure and rebellion and disobedience against God? Start keeping the law that day. No way. No sacrifice I could bring. I can't bring a sacrifice. You and I can't bring a sacrifice for one of our sins, much less what we know about. And then what about all the sins of ignorance that we've sinned against a holy and righteous God? I've sinned against God and I don't even know it. For as many as are under the are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Let's turn over real quick to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Moses is preparing the people here. He's telling them about when they're going to cross over Jordan and go into the land. He gives them some instruction about that. We don't have the time to look into it to great detail. But he says in verse number 4, therefore it shall be, Deuteronomy 27 verse 4, therefore it shall be when you have be going over Jordan that you shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal and plaster them with plaster. Build an altar, no tool of iron upon it. Offer some offerings. Verse 8, and thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Okay? Joshua does that when it comes time to do it. In verse number 11, and Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. They're going to stand over here on Gerizim. There's these two mounts here, and if I understand it right, these pillars are going to be there in the valley between the mounts. And these tribes have been given instruction to stand over here on the foot and on the side of Mount Gerizim to bless the people. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin, those tribes. And then verse 13, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and shall say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. And it says, if you'll take a look here, verse 15, cursed be the man that maketh any graven image. 16, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. Cursed, verse 17, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. 18, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wonder. Verse 19, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger. Verse 20, cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife. Verse 21, cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. Verse 22, cursed be he that lieth with his sister. Verse 23, cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. 24, cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. Verse 25, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people in the utterings of these cursings are saying amen. Verse 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. And so, it goes on in chapter 28 to tell about the blessings, okay? And so that the Lord has ordained this to be, he's given it to Moses, and when the children of Israel go into the land, they do accomplish it, and Joshua orders it and takes care of it. Back in Galatians chapter 3, that's where this reference here that the apostle makes. When you sign up to keep the law for the sake of your salvation, you got to do it perfect and you can't. Bottom line. And what the apostle is speaking to the folks there in the churches of Galatia is that see the folly in this. It's folly. Oh, foolish Galatians, you have denied God Almighty in taking this position that you could even do this. You bring Christ. You bring the Lord Jesus Christ to a shame. It talks about, I believe it is in Hebrews, that taking the blessed offering of the Lord Jesus Christ and not honoring Him in that and not serving Him in that and believing in that and referring to that and desiring that and knowing that that is the only way that we've been saved. If we say that those things are false, if we say that the Word of God is not true, if we say that there's salvation through any other way, we take Christ and we put Him to an open shame. If we say that Christ need to be crucified again, we put Him to an open shame. We're saying it's not good enough. It's not powerful enough. It's not right enough. It's not acceptable before God enough. It needed to happen again. And it's wicked. It's wicked. And so it is with this other gospel that these churches in Galatia, some of them in this doctrine that's going forth that they've succumbed to, some of them have succumbed to, some of them have given heed to it, some of them are promoting it. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, you're taking the Lord and you're putting Him to shame. Listen to what the law says. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Here we see this statement that he pulls from the Old Testament and how he references this between the children of Israel going in between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim and these curses that are uttered. And how he reminds them of that last curse that's uttered, that if you don't keep all the law, if you don't continually keep it, you are cursed indeed. And I want to remind you of what he said. I believe he's making a parallel here, Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There was a cursing there in the law that the children of Israel were to utter as they entered in through that valley there between those two mounts to go in. And they said, if you don't honor and say that this is the law of God and know that this is so, because what did it say there to confirm it? These commandments, let that one be accursed. And that's what the Lord gave them to do in that day. But you know where the real cursing is? The real accursing is now, since Jesus Christ has come, has been sacrificed, has been buried and rose from the dead, and has fulfilled all the law and brought salvation to His people. The curse is the changing of the gospel. That's where the curse is. That's where the curse is. And so by taking and claiming the law, he goes to the law and he says, listen to what the law says. If you don't keep it, the law itself says you're accursed. Right. Oh, foolish Galatians, realize that your changing of the gospel, that is where the curse is at. He goes on to reiterate that in verse 9 of chapter 1, doesn't he? As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel, any man, any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Not salvation through the doctrine of the church, but salvation through the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection. Deny that, and you are cursed indeed. Deny that, and you are cursed indeed. Add something to that, and you are cursed indeed. Take something away from that, and you are cursed. You are cursed indeed. Galatians 3:10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." That's what the scripture says. Verse 11, "But that no man is justified, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident." If you get over there and you really look at the law, and you consider what's even written in the law, it will testify to you. It'll be evident, so plainly evident, that there's no way by keeping it you can be justified before God. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling. And he goes on here and he makes another quote. And if you remember back to our spring revival, he says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for because the just shall live by faith." Quoting there Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4. You know who said that there in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4? God Almighty said that. Habakkuk, or one near to Habakkuk, penned it down. But Habakkuk was the Lord was dealing with him. He was making a plea unto the Lord. The Lord revealed unto him what he was doing with Israel. And it is the Lord that spoke there in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4. And the Lord says, "The just man shall live by faith." Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about that, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What the Lord wants is not a bunch of promises, not an attempt to pay, not an attempt to do better from this point going forward, not to turn over a new leaf. What God is looking for, and Hebrews chapter 11 bears that out, he's looking for folks to believe him. To believe him. To simply believe him. Not say we believe him, but believe him with everything that there is for us to believe him, and for it to be manifested in our hearts and our lives that we believe him. Faith. Faith. To believe God. That's how sinners are saved, and that's how children live for the Lord. The Lord's children, I'm talking about. Don't go changing the gospel, folks. Don't go changing the gospel. Don't try to make the gospel sweeter so one might be enticed. You think you can make it sweeter or make it better and get them over the edge and then straighten them out. It won't work. It won't work. The gospel is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what he did, what he accomplished, what he represents. He is the Word. He's the fulfilling of the Scripture. And God the Son came and became a man, the God-man, and came and offered his life, yielded it over freely, was put to death, was buried, laid there in that grave for 3 days and three nights, and rose again from the dead because he took his life back himself. God the Father gave him his life and he raised him from the dead. God the Holy Spirit worked and raised the Son from the dead. No matter what you say, it's all the same. God lives forever, and God the Son only died for 3 days and three nights so that he might defeat death, hell, and the grave, and rose from the dead and is victorious forevermore. That's the gospel by which we're saved. That's the gospel that even sinners here in 2011 in Olmsted, Kentucky, Logan County, Kentucky, the United States of America, all over the world, this is the gospel that sinners need. You're here tonight and you're not saved, we point you to Jesus Christ and his gospel. Repent. Know and confess before God that you're guilty and that you need him. And believe in him. Trust him. Cast all your care upon him.